Annalene looked around, laughing nervously.
Not the Eopies?
She asked in a small voice.
No. There's a child,
he said, looking as if he'd given her his most secret truth.
It's my responsibility.
Annalene shook her head, tears finally arriving. Yes, she'd imagined this possibility once, but it put it out of her head. It didn't make sense that it would trap him here forever.
You can make provisions, she said. Families do it all the time. You can look after the child and still...
No, I can't, Ben said firmly. I must be here. He turned to leave. She looked about at the shadows.
Then we'll stay. We don't have to go off-world.
You have your destiny, Annalene. I have mine.
Annalene looked back at the land speeder.
That's what this was all about. The university? You're sending me away?
I can't have you here, Ben said, walking back to his house.
And you can't stay.
Annalene stared blankly at him as he opened the curtain that covered the front doorway.
None of it made sense. Since before dawn, it had been the vision of a life with Ben in the picture that had gotten her through the craziness.
Events had been so extreme that the lifeline he represented had taken on the feeling of a long-held dream.
And that made it all the worse.
You lied to me, she said, her words barely audible. Ben turned in the doorway.
What's that?
You lied to me, she said, feeling numb.
You lied to me.
It may have been for 15 hours rather than for years, like Oren, but
you lied to me, like Oren said.
Ben's eyes widened.
I never,
he started to say before stopping. After a moment, he spoke again.
Yes, I guess I have been lying to you.
He looked off to the side.
And not just about tonight or the child. I've been lying to you about other things.
A lot of other things.
From the beginning.
Annalene closed her eyes.
Well,
she said quietly,
I think we can both agree on one thing.
She opened her eyes and looked directly at him.
I don't need that. Not anymore.
She turned and started walking.
I feel sad for you, Ben. Goodbye.
Stiffly, she climbed into the land speeder. She paused only for a single look back to see Ben, alone, and watching from the doorway. Then she drove down to where her children awaited, and beckoned for them to follow. Together, they sped across a desert, already covered with stars.
Chapter 47.
The young warrior swung his Gaddurfi, impaling the Jawa. The little beast squealed and shook, and life left his body. Ayark looked on the carnage with approval. The change was working. 2 days earlier, settlers had been threatening to overrun the pillars. Now, attacking at sunset rather than dawn, her little band had conducted its first raid in the western Dune Sea, south of the Jundland. The region was sparsely populated, and tonight's catch was nothing more than a caravan of Jawas, late for a rendezvous with their sandcrawler. The clan of Yark and Sherad Het would never have bothered with such rodents. But tonight, they made excellent prey for a people robbed of confidence. A day at a time had always been the only path forward for the Tuscans. There seemed no other way for those who lived under a curse. Something, however, had changed, and it had changed in Ayark. The war leader wanted her whole clan to reach the future. That meant selecting targets in the proper order. Attrition was unacceptable. Strikes had to be more than an expression of Tuscan hate and dominance. They had to be useful. They had to teach the warriors something. And her desire to survive had required something else. The one called Oren had taken to mewling weakly at all hours. They had tied a guard massive to him to make sure he didn't try to drag himself away. But there seemed no danger of that.
Ayark doubted he would live much longer. But he'd gotten the vaporator working in his hours on the beer, and that was all that was important. Alone among clans this season, Ayark's people would drink and grow mightier. Taking water from the sky was forbidden, yes. But Ayark had paid little mind to other superstitions in the past. Neither Sky Brother was worthy of respect. Why should their sky be protected? A metal knife to the clouds was no less than they deserved. The water began transforming the remnants of the tribe within hours. It was sweet to the taste, magical, the elders said. Little children on the edge of death began to revive. Banthas were working longer. Even the few remaining warriors seemed readier to fight. A Yark would take any improvement. Sometimes a little sacrilege came in handy. They would live. And they had to live, because for the first time, her people were daring to care about tomorrow. The other Tuscans had seen Ben's defense, had seen the monstrous cloud he raised in the pillars, had seen the corpse of the crate. There had to be some reason these powerful figures kept arriving amid the Sand People. Some role their clan was intended to play in the next cycle of the Story of the Suns. More vocally than ever, her people spoke their longings for a powerful outsider to help them destroy their enemies. Ben would never be that person. Ayark would warn the other Tuscans away from his home. He had nothing to take, and there was little value in irritating a wizard. It didn't matter, the believer said. Someone would come. But while Ayark welcomed any hope that encouraged her people to strive once more, she herself now looked to a different day. A day when the clan would realize that it didn't need a mystical outsider after all, that it already had the leader it needed. With that thought, Ayark plunged her Gadurfi again into the Jawa leader's back. Existence was a curse, but it was not without its pleasure.